Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6, Episodes 12 and 13, The Sign and New Life.
Ooh, that season finale time, right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
What is happening, Jeff Randall?
Sir, we have been at this for 5 years now, almost to the day.
It's true. We have.
How do you feel about that? Years of talking.
Let's not get carried away.
Straight, unending
That's right.
Years.
Cast without ceasing, the Bible says.
Yes. I'm feeling good about it, man. It's, it feels like it's been forever. It feels like we've talked about literally everything.
Yeah.
But there's always more to talk about.
Yeah, like, I remember when we started this cast thinking, how are we going to get that much to talk about? I was like, and I remember when we started, it was just Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and we were like, we'll have, like, enough to talk about for at least 22 episodes a year or whatever, like 25, and now we're doing, like, I don't know, 100, 150 episodes some years.
It's been several.
Yeah, it's a lot, and I love it. It's so much fun. So thanks for everybody for listening. It's 5 years. I guess we probably should mention that on tomorrow's cast, because this is an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast. Not everybody's going to listen to it.
Yeah.
But still.
Sure.
those people will listen, watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're the ones who've probably listened to more episodes than anybody, so thanks for being here to celebrate 5 years with us, guys. I feel like 4 years was just like a couple weeks ago. It does not feel like that long ago, but I remember it was last summer, so yeah. Crazy.
Kind of had to be last summer.
Yeah, it did. That's math.
That's how time works. Mm-hmm. You know, regardless of what we saw in Endgame, that's how time works.
Are you saying Back to the Future's bullshit?
Pretty much. Man, we're at 385 listenable episodes, not including this one.
Wow.
It feels like we just rounded the corner, like, not that long ago.
Yeah, crazy.
Anyway, so on this five-year anniversary, we get the finale, the two-part finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6.
Yeah. What are your overall thoughts of the season, man?
You know...
Spoiler alert?
I don't know. I'm a little bit disappointed.
Oh, yeah?
In the season, or in the show, like, as a whole, it's like it feels cheap. I'm not sure.
Interesting. I didn't feel like this season felt cheap, but I don't know. What do you mean by cheap, I guess?
I don't know. Like, it's almost like they've just given up on doing new and interesting things. Like, yeah, it was cool that Sarge was the thing, that we got, you know, a different Coulson, but, like, it almost feels like that was just a way to shoehorn in Clark Gregg. Like, they couldn't move on past him, and they didn't want the fans to either. Like, yes, everybody loves Clark Gregg, but Phil Coulson's dead. And yeah. I get bringing in LMD Phil Coulson at the end, which was great. You know, that's a great way to bring him back as an LMD, because you've got his brain downloaded for the framework. But having him show up as Sarge the whole time, I never really missed him. Like, I never got to miss Clark Gregg.
Yeah, it would have been this final season would have been a lot more exciting if we'd had a season without Clark Gregg. And we've had a season without Coulson, which was interesting. And not to say I didn't enjoy Clark Gregg's presence. I thought he did a great job. But you're right. We didn't get a chance to miss him.
Yep.
I do think that, like, this season, I think they were trying... I wonder if they knew they were getting renewed for a seventh when they wrote this season. Because this season does feel like it was trying to be a culmination of things.
Yeah.
I could
see that.
The three monoliths being, you know, present, which we've seen those three monoliths were kind of integral to three different seasons. And then you also had Clark Gregg, which was created in sort of the finale of, I think it was last season, or the season before, maybe? No, it was last season. So, yeah, and, you know, you get Flint showing up. Like, you got all this kind of neat stuff from across the seasons. But it's not, I don't know. It's weird. And then having the Chronicoms turn out to sort of turn on the humans, not that they were ever on the human side, and I think that was kind of the point. I don't know. It did. It felt a little jumbled. It felt like they didn't know what they were doing. It lacked focus, I guess.
It felt like they were trying to fit 24 episodes worth of story into 13 episodes without just telling a solid 13-episode story.
Maybe. I still think that the height of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that we've had so far was the season where they took a 22-episode season and chopped it into three pods.
Season four, yep.
Yeah, that's the best they've done. And I really liked that. And I feel like everyone we heard from loved that. And I don't know why they didn't stick with that model. It's sort of these bite-sized arcs allow them to focus while allowing them to get a lot of different kinds of stories told. Like, this season felt a little... It was just the Sarge mystery was in the first episode, and we're in episode 13, we're just really fully learning what all that was about, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard when the whole... When a show like this is all mystery, which I feel like this season was, it's kind of hard because you never know what you're rooting for to happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Kinda. It's like, yeah. having something... I mean, this season had they packed a lot in, but I kind of wish they just focused a few episodes instead of kind of telling everyone's story in every episode. You know, we these are all discussions we have all the time, that balance between episodic and overarching. And the thing about having shorter pods like they did with that one season, those shorter arcs with season four, was they got to... It was a focused story because it was focused for seven episodes on one thing, and then they'd move on to a new thing, you know? And then yep. The end of that season, season four, they, like, combined all three stories into one for the big finale, which was neat. This one, they did that, but it was all overlapping and overarching and things kind of leading into one another. And it just kind of, like I said, just lacks focus. It lacks focus. But, you know, I didn't hate it. I really loved all the Deke Shaw stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot that was likable about it. Like, the Sarge thing would have been awesome next season, you know?
Yeah. Or just hold off and make the LMD. Like, they could have had this guy who is Coulson. And I mean, it gave them a moral dilemma. It was honestly just tragedy, though. Like, I really hate that May died the way she did, because it ends up she died because she was wrong. She yep. died because she trusted a man with Coulson's face who wasn't Coulson. And that, to me, that's super tragic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because May was our stoic warrior woman, you know, that makes the hard calls. This is the woman. It actually really, now that I'm really thinking about it, really pisses me off. And I'm guessing she's really dead, because her arc, her entire arc is that she can do the things that no one else can do.
Yeah.
What did they call her in the very first season?
The Cavalry.
The Cavalry, yeah. Because she went in where was it? Bahrain? What?
It was in Bahrain. Yep.
Yeah. In Bahrain, they call her the Cavalry, and then we find out what that is in, like, season two, maybe, and it turns out it's that she went in and did what no one else could do, which was murder a child.
It's actually season three is when that happened.
Okay. Well, that's when we find that out, but that's her... So her entire arc was... when she's able to close her heart off to get the hard shit done.
Yep.
And then it ended with her opening her heart to Coulson so much that she opened it too much and believed this was Coulson, and it ended up getting her killed. And that's really tragic to me. I really don't like that as an arc for our hero. Like, that's a really bad arc for May.
Good thing she's in cryostasis.
Is she?
Yeah, they put her in the... Yeah, when... What is... God, what is her name? Gemma Simmons. Jesus. When Gemma Simmons showed up at the end of the episode, she, like, had the time agency. The Agents of Time Shield.
Oh. Whatever. And she had for some reason, I was thinking that was Yo-Yo that got put into Cryo Stasis, but no, I guess you're right.
Okay. Yeah, no, Yo-Yo just got better.
Well, I guess then if it, as a stop on her arc, that's not so bad. I for some reason, I was thinking May was dead. I guess I just blanked out at the end. I don't know what my problem is.
It's okay. It's all right, sir. But I don't want to be a downer about this episode, you know? Or not episode, this whole season.
Sure. We never want to be downers for downer's sake, but it just felt a little unfocused, and we can go on from that and say what we did like about this episode. There's a lot good to say.
Yeah, I think that Deke Shaw running around with the jump drive on his back whole time, looking like a little kid running around with a huge backpack on.
Yeah, and him just deciding to be a hero was super fun.
Yeah,
what do I got to do to get a little respect around here? And then he just jump drives out of there.
Yep.
That was really great. Really wonderful.
Like, everybody in his company is just like applauding him, like, yeah, he's doing a great thing.
Yeah. I really, like I said, love all the Deke Shaw stuff. I got to say, I really like to see Flint again. He was great.
Yeah. I like that he's still around, you know? And there's that discussion of like, is he even real? Like, yes, he got a body, and it's him for the most part. You know, it looks like it's his memories and everything, but is it actually him?
Yeah.
And is that being that got created, is he worth saving? Like, does he count? You know, does he count as a real person? And Daisy's just like, no, this isn't a real person. And you know, she's having that discussion with Mac and Yo-Yo, and Mac and Yo-Yo are like, you know, this is our mind, baby. You can't take him away.
Yeah, it is weird. They're going to have like, and I think that could be really nice for Mac, having lost his daughter.
Oh, yeah, in the framework? That's exactly what I was thinking of, too.
Well, and before the framework. I mean, he lost his daughter in real life, and so that's been his thing the whole time, is he's this childless father figure that has been missing his child, and now he's created a new child out of his mind powers, out of fear. Yeah, I guess out of fear. But I loved when he called him Pebbles. It was very touching. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yep. He's got a great nickname for everybody.
Yeah.
When he saw Fitz the first time, he called him Turbo. I was like, oh, I remember why he calls him that.
Yeah. Again, not to be super negative, I keep thinking about things that I, you know, didn't particularly like. Another thing is, like, Yo-Yo, again, can't stop a bat, and I don't understand why. I don't understand why she can't, like, speed her robot arms over to the bat and rip it in half or whatever. Like, physically confine it with her robot arms. Like a lightning bug. I don't understand why these bats are elusive to Yo-Yo. Another thing that really bothered me this episode.
Tell me more about what you didn't like.
Aizel's been a pretty interesting, like, well-acted character up till now. Like, I've enjoyed the performance and her as a character. It's just been nice. Like, she was, like, friendly in the beginning, and then you find out she's friendly but crazy, and that she has her own agenda and all that. It was nice.
And then her agenda is, like, batshit crazy?
Yeah. But this episode, overacting all over the place.
Yep.
It was real bad. When she walked outside and told the bats to go, she's like, go find me an army. She like
and
yells
she throws
it.
Her hands up.
It was like straight up out of Wizard of Oz. Get them, my pretties. Like, it was just really, really overacted. Like, it would have been, I don't know. I can't blame the actress. I'm sure the director could have reined her in if that wasn't what he wanted. He might have told her to go that big. I don't know. It was just real stupid to me. And not natural. Like, it could have been a really cool moment, her going out and almost like whispering to her, like, go find me an army. And then they go, woof, you know, like, that could have been badass and like effective. And instead it felt like the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I hate to say it, but
that's,
I did.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Like, when she put her arms up, when she did that, when she said that, like, my knee-jerk reaction was like, that seems very out of character.
Yeah,
to be it, that big and open about anything.
And with the gold dress she's wearing this episode, it felt very much like a Power Rangers villain.
Where the hell did that come from?
I don't know, man. She was wearing like a... like a, what looked like a mechanic's jumpsuit throughout the entire season, because she's been on that spaceship, and now she's... I'm sure it's like ceremonial robes. Like, it's explainable away from a technical perspective, but, like, I just really wanted more nuance to Izel. She is not... She, I feel like she was pretty nuanced up till now, and they could have easily, like... given her a little bit of empathy, or given us an empathetic look at her when she's trying to save her people, because that's what she's trying to do. But instead, she came off just as a straight up mustache twirler, who somewhere between a Power Rangers villain and the Wicked Witch of the West. And I just I'm not on board with that.
She took off her her mechanics jumpsuit to reveal a dress of ceremonial nature that is also immune to being wrinkled and is not hot in the slightest, never makes her sweat.
Come on, man. That's some space age fabric.
That's space age shit right there. And it hides a short sword that also phases with her.
Yeah. Well, you know, her clothes always phased with her. I'm assuming she has the ability to phase things she's touching. But yeah, I don't know, man. This was not. I love where they left it.
Episode like going back into the past great. And seeing the beginning of the Empire State Building, like that's going to be really cool. Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the past is going to be amazing because there's some really great things that they'll be able to touch on, especially in the history of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like they're going to be able to work with Peggy Carter.
I don't know. Maybe. And I would love that. I would love that if they did a jump next season where we got to actually see the sort of a resolution to the Agent Carter series. That would be, I would love that. But right now they're like pre-World War One. I mean, pre-World War Two.
I mean, yeah, they're pre-World War Two, but she was around and helping the government at the time.
Barely. I mean, she was, you know, probably in her mid to early 20s in the first Avenger, which is like middle of World War II. So if they're in the 30s, which I think is what they said, she's like a teenager at this point. So I don't think we're going to get Peggy Carter at this point. But what I do think will happen is, so we don't know what the plan is, but this is all I want to talk about. So all the stuff that's bad, like I feel like the whole strike storyline really ended up being a dud, it was a mystery box. It was a freaking J.J. Abrams mystery box that led nowhere, and I don't like that. it led to an unsatisfying end. Those of you who haven't heard of mystery, have you heard of mystery boxes?
No, I don't know what you mean.
J.J. Abrams, a couple years ago, gave a talk. It was when Lost was super popular. He gave a talk about, it's like a TED Talk or something like it, and he's on stage giving a talk about what he calls mystery boxes, and he talks about his writing style is about mystery boxes, and the thing that draws us into the story is there's got to be something we don't know, some mystery that we want to solve that keeps us driving forward, you know? The problem is he makes a lot of shows that are all mystery boxes that never have payoff. And so like this felt like that. This whole season was like, who is Sarge? Who is Izel? What are their missions? And then they end up, you know, they did resolve it in this case, but it was just really unsatisfying. When you build the mystery box on mystery box on mystery box, you have to have an ending in mind that is going to blow you away. The mystery has to be worth all of that, or it feels empty at the end, which is what happened with Lost and what it went on to happen with other shows that he was a part of. And it's just, it's a YouTube video. You can find it if you Google J.J. Abrams and mystery boxes.
All right.
It's an interesting thing because basically it's him saying how he does his thing and everyone is like, no, stop doing that thing. Like, that's how you get people to continue watching something. It's not how you make a good piece of art. You know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, so
Anyway, so now the team is in 1930.
They're in 1930. But here, what excites me about this is, first of all, Time Shield.
Yes.
That's awesome. That is amazing.
Because time travel stories are literally your favorite thing ever.
Yeah, they are. They're my favorite thing. So we get a time travel story. Totally on board. My initial thought is, oh, they're going to be in the 30s, and they needed Coulson to go back in time because he's this history buff and this hero buff, you know, like he's going to go through and do all this stuff. He's going to know all the information, which is why they brought Coulson LMD back. But I don't think they're going to stay in the 30s, right? Because he's an expert of like S.H.I.E.L.D. and the heroes, starting with Captain America, who's in 42 or whatever. 44 maybe? I don't know. Anyway, so I think they're going to be jumping through time next season.
I would say that it is very likely that they could be, because they modified the jump drive mm-hmm. to be able to jump them through time.
And they've got Fitz sitting in a room somewhere. He sees the plan, they don't. So he knows what he's got to send them to, and they don't know. So at least that's what I'm thinking they're doing. So something about paradoxes or something about Fitz, if he tells them. So just like, you know, Dr. Strange said, if I tell you what happens, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think that Fitz has got to be that guy. He's got to be their Dr. Strange. He's the mastermind sitting outside of time somewhere telling them what to do, you know?
And Simmons said that she doesn't know where Fitz is. She can't know.
Yeah. Yep.
And then just before that, Enoch said that you have to alter the course of your lives. And they're just like,
yeah.
Again, yeah, we'll do it.
We're used to that.
Yeah, right?
So funny. That was a really funny moment.
And we keep saying, like, stop messing with them. Like, they're our couple. They're our S.H.I.E.L.D. couple. Leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
Let them just be.
Why can't you let them be happy?
Right? Let them be happy together. Come on.
Yep.
Anyway, so
what 30 else is S.H.I.E.L.D. there to say? Looks like pretty much everybody's going to be sticking around, including it looks like Flint is going to be somewhere with one of the two teams.
Yeah, he's with Piper in the present.
Well, that's the last time we saw him. But yeah. It's very possible that wherever Fitz and Simmons went off to, they collected the team before they left. Or it's possible he's with Fitz wherever he is, or Piper and him might be with Fitz. They could all be sitting in the present in some sort of, you know, time protection bubble that won't allow them to be erased or something.
Oh, man, that reminds me of Star Trek First Contact. When they were protected, like at the very beginning, when they were protected by the temporal wake.
Yes. I'm really upset that you came up with temporal wake before I did.
I'm sorry. I just watched it this past week.
Oh, okay. I don't feel so bad. I was like, they were protected by the temporal, the bubble, the time bubble. What was it?
The time bubble.
Oh, the temporal wake. Yeah. Oh, man. Good times. Good times.
Good times.
I really love that movie.
It's a great movie.
Yep.
It's such a great movie that I had to find where I could stream it this weekend just so that I could show one of the kiddos something. I don't remember what point I was trying to make with it, but we watched the entire movie just so I could make a point.
Yeah, that's great. I think what I don't like about this season, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think what bothers me is they made all the wrong decisions, and they won just by battling them better.
Yeah.
Like, in previous seasons, when someone has the drop on them, like Nega Coulson clearly did, you'd find out that, because it's always Coulson. Coulson's always the man with the plan, right? And yep. It would have been nice if Mac had some sort of, like, after May is stabbed or whatever, Mac had had some sort of contingency in place to stop them or something. You know, like, it just felt like they basically got beaten and then they won through pure, they're just good fighters. Especially May. May ends up on the other side of the portal with a sword in her gut, and then she gets up and kills the high priests or whatever, which was amazing, by the way. That was probably my favorite part of this episode.
we didn't even get to see it happen, though. Yeah, she kind of walks up on them, and then you see three rocks come through the portal.
Yeah, which was so badass, though. That is so May. Like, to just... Like, she just, you just see her getting up. I wish we'd seen her pull the sword out of her own gut. Like, that would have been, there's one of my favorite moments. You ever watched the show 24 much?
Not really.
One of my favorite moments is when an enemy throws a knife and hits Jack Bauer with it.
Yeah.
And then Jack Bauer pulls the knife out of himself and proceeds to kill like four men with it. Oh, and I was like, you don't throw a knife at Jack Bauer. You're just giving him a weapon. This is all you're doing. And this reminded me of that. Like, May has been run through, you know? And then she takes that sword out of her own gut and just kills the bad guys, you know?
Yep.
I liked that a lot.
Yep. That was fun. You know, you mentioned that Mac didn't have a plan, and it reminds me of the line that he said where he was getting up. He's like, I've been through enough of these to where I know we always win. It's like, no, Mac, that's not it. It's not that we always win because we're good guys. It's we always win because Coulson had a freaking plan.
Yeah, I'm pretty disappointed in him as a director, honestly. He left the team when they needed him just so that he could protect his girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend, which was not great.
The plan that he said that he had there is that at least one of them would always be awake.
Yeah, but then he admitted that wasn't really why he did it. He was like, it wasn't tactical.
That at least was a decent plan, though, like to, you know, have record of what's going on.
Yeah, and I kind of wish he hadn't taken that back. And he didn't take it back fully, but he admitted that it was really because he wanted to protect her, which is both, like, insulting to her as a super. And then it's frustrating that he made such a decision as the director, you know?
Yep.
I don't know, man. I feel like this Chromacon thing was just, like, super thrown in last minute, you know?
Yeah. All of it felt like an afterthought. All of the Chronicom stuff. When it came back, like, when at the end of what was it, episode 10 or something like that, 10 or 11?
Yeah.
When they had the Chronicom start, I was like, why did... Or when they had him coming back and the hunter guy took over, I was like, I didn't need any of that. Like, I was so done with all of the Chronicoms just in general.
Yeah. And there was they had plenty of problems with having to deal with the Chronicoms, and it didn't feel emotionally satisfying because it suddenly was just a distraction from the story. Like I said, we've had this mystery box going on for 13 episodes where we want to know what's going on, and then we finally find out, and the final battle gets there, and then they throw another final battle that we weren't expecting on top of the other final battle. Like, I was just like, this is very much lacking focus.
Yep.
It had its moments. It had its good moments. And this season overall, I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed the character of Sarge, although, like you said, would have been nice to have a chance to miss Clark Gregg. Really would have, because that final scene would have been so impactful if Clark Gregg, like, we hadn't seen him in a full season. They've been grieving his loss, and then he says, "Hey guys," like, it would have been amazing.
Yep, especially with Simmons saying, "I really miss him." And then activating him.
Yeah.
And Daisy's reaction where she slams the button, like,
yeah,
that would be so, so heavy, so emotionally impactful if we had not seen Clark Gregg the entire season.
Yeah, it really would have been. I hate that. I'm sure it was, like, contractual, and you can't just have an actor. I mean, you can, like, the actor can agree to it, but, like, you can't. Most of the time, if you want an actor to stay on a show, you've got to keep them working. You know, you can't just like be like, hey, wait a year and we'll bring you back. most of the time it requires like all kinds of new contract negotiations and stuff. Or they could have never had him turn good toward the end, because it felt like we had Coulson back for the last four episodes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When Sarge becomes Sarge, like if he had just been all along on Izel's team or something like that, like where we just, he's the bad guy. He's just the big bad of the season. And we're just, you know, we're having to deal with the grief while having to deal with that guy's face running around. That would have been one thing. But for about four episodes, it felt like we were getting him back in a different form. So it did not, if it, this is like the worst case of what Marvel does with not letting characters die.
Yeah.
It's like Clark Gregg died in Avengers. Then he died again on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. of the same wound. Then he came back as Sarge and was killed. And now he's back as an LMD. And it's just like, goodness.
Just let him go.
Yeah, it's a little rough. It's a little rough from a storytelling perspective. The stakes do not feel high when Clark Gregg keeps just returning. And he's not going to be him next season exactly, but he's going to be a lot more like himself, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's going to have all of his memories, and he's been briefed on everything that's happened. So it's effectively like this LMD has never not been Coulson.
Right. All right. So I guess this next season is about them going through time, setting themselves up to beat the Chronicoms in the future.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man.
Is it Terminator? Are they doing Terminator?
They're kind of doing Terminator.
They're kind of doing Terminator.
All right. Well, I think that's about all I have to say about this. You want to get some feedback? We got a few things people wrote in.
Yeah. Let's see. Shaharam McKissick, I think is how you pronounce that name. Say, guys, new listener, I really enjoyed the podcast. Dying to hear what you guys think of the latest Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes. Daisy killing Sarge to get him to say what he truly is. Like, whoa! I feel like that was almost cathartic for her to like, have to fight through all of the emotional pain of seeing that guy's face and having him not be Coulson. For her to just be able to kill him, you know, just like immediately break his neck and him come back and her not feel bad about it. Like that had to feel good, you know, at the very least.
I don't know. I felt like it was her sort of sacrificing because she doesn't want to kill Coulson and she feels like it's Coulson in front of her and she's having to murder her mentor over and over. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It could have been. I mean, there was that little bit in the, was it episode 12, where she and May are like, oh, that was Coulson. He's got Coulson coming back. He had that same twinkle in his eye. He landed a joke.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's the thing. They all got fooled. And I like my heroes to like kind of get over on the villain, you know, like that's, I like my heroes to be sort of smart and this
at least a little bit
just didn't turn out that way. You know, Coulson was always the leader that like, I have so many examples, especially in the first few seasons that it was this, he's the ultra spy, you know, he would get over on the enemy by outsmarting them or out tricking them. And this episode, they just battled to the death better than the Shrike did, or whatever. Or Izel and her people.
And the zombies.
It was fun to have zombies, I guess.
No. What was fun about the zombies was Deke Shaw not knowing that there are Resident Evil video games.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
Oh, my God.
Very funny.
And he's like, there could be dog zombies and
fast zombies and slow zombies. That was good.
Sorry. And then Simmons being like, yeah, no, that's a great idea.
I had an idea for a story this week. It was a couple weeks ago. I had this idea, and it's not like fully not been done before, but I thought it was pretty original. And I've been working on it. And then I watched the new Amazon series, The Boys. And it really took a bunch of the ideas I had and, like, ran with them. I was like, dang it. Like, my idea is not exactly the same, but, like, a lot of the innovative stuff I was thinking I was coming up with is in The Boys. It's like, oh, well.
Hmm.
It's funny.
I'm going to have to watch this series. I hear a lot of people talking a lot of good about it.
Yeah, it's really good. We'll probably have it in the feedback next week because we haven't rounded up feedback in the last couple of days, except for the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. But someone wrote in saying it rivals Daredevil for best comic book series.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's pretty big words right there.
Wow. That's you're talking a lot.
I think you're right.
Real big.
I think they're right. It's less traditional than Daredevil. Less traditional, good and bad sort of situation. But from quality of show, superhero for a superhero comic series, quality of show, I think it is pretty amazing.
Okay. Let's see. We had Andre Sparks write in and say, questions. Are they in the future? Where's Flint? Piper? Fitz? Why is the Empire State Building taller? Did the Hunters take over? And why did they take pieces of monoliths? WTF?
Andre, I think you were a little confused. They are in the past. I think they took a piece of the monolith probably to use. They took a piece of the time monolith. I'm assuming they used it to augment the jump drive so they could do time travel. And we don't know what their plan is, but it seems like Fitz is somehow masterminding it, but he can't fully communicate with Gemma. And so he's communicating only what he needs to have them go back in time and do some fancy, fancy things to probably help them prepare for the battle with the Chromacons. I guess, which I really kind of hope that's not the whole last season, them just preparing for the battle with the Chromacons, because I don't feel that invested in their battle with the Chromacons. And now that you mention it, that very much is Terminator.
Yep, this is absolutely Terminator.
I was thinking, yeah, it's Terminator because it's a time travel, but nope, it's also time travel to try to avoid a future where the robots machines have taken over.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're right. That's Terminator. all right, what does Andy Jeshua have to say?
I'm glad you came around.
I mean, I was on board from the beginning. I just didn't realize how deep that went.
Yeah, no, I meant every bit of
it. I'm down the rabbit hole with you now. Yep, I'm there.
Welcome to my web. Andy Jeshua says, hi, guys. I was not expecting this episode to go the way that it did. Spoiler alert for the sixth season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I was really thinking that this episode would end with the snap. I really think that we are now in a separate universe, but I do have a theory about how they could do it in Season 7, although I think it's highly unlikely. We still don't know if Fitz and the rest of the team have traveled to the 1920s with Daisy, Mac, and Simmons. Maybe they still have some sort of contact with the team in the future. Deke or Fitz could talk about how people are turning to dust or something. And then maybe like half the season is about trying to get Daisy and Mac and Simmons back to our time. The second could be them trying to live in a world where half the universe is dead. I'm shocked that Sarge killed May. I kind of hope that she stays dead, as it will add some more emotional weight for the final season. I really don't like that they made an LMD for Coulson. I feel like Clark Gregg is sort of a safety net, but don't get me wrong, I love the character so much. I just feel like they should let him stay dead. My favorite moment from the episode was when Deke set up shop in the weapons lab at the lighthouse. Keep up with a great show, guys. Sorry for the long email. Drew.
Oh, man. That was a great email. We agree with you on all those points, basically. We've talked about most of them. I agree. That's also probably my favorite moment from the episode. Well, with the exception of May killing the guys off screen, that was pretty fun, too. But the weapons lab being in their base was pretty great.
Whatever Nana and Bobo want, obviously it comes through me first, but do what they say.
That's so funny. So funny. Yes. All right, guys. Well, that is about all we got for today. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU to leave us a voicemail. We'll be back with another episode very shortly in your feed. We're going to be ranking all of the MCU movies now that Phase 3 is over. We're going to rank the Infinity Saga. Get ready. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.